WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Hey, this is Becky Baylor.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Sound.
This is Eric Bischoff.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday night.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Believe me, we wanted to tell you.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling with your hosts.
All I know is his name.
Give me his name.
Tim Stein.
Talk like him, try to talk sexy.
Heartbreak Mike.
Don't be alarmed, we're Negroes.
The Omega.
Now, I ain't no Wesley Snipes. I just hang out with stupid-ass friends.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
People say I look weird. They say my ears look funny.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll.
This is third generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
I'm Austin Aries.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I have to the earth. I know where you live.
WTR Sunday Night.
Now let's hear one of those jokes, bitch.
Welcome, everyone, to WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Welcome to our WWE SmackDown Money in the Bank post-pay-per-view. I'm trying to summon energy for this. It's not working. This is like WrestleMania-level exhaustion for absolutely no reason.
Mm-mm. But
no, it's running a light shift today, so we'll try to be in and out with this episode. So for now, I am the Omega, the be-all and all of the network. Joining me tonight, we have Heartbreak Mike.
I was robbed. I was robbed.
I think more than just you tonight, honestly.
I've been robbed not once, but twice.
Which is saying, anyway, I could make a really horrible joke, but I'm not. Because I'm not trying to be Tim. Anyway, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You can get us on TuneIn Radio. Just search Wild Talk Radio Network. We're here to talk Money in the Bank, so Mega talked about.
Yay.
So, who watched the pre-show?
I did.
Did you, Mike?
I did.
Oh, goody. So, guys, talk about the pre-show.
White noise. That's actually a good word for the show. So, after hearing the explanation, do you understand what day one-ish now means?
Explain what day one-ish is.
I can't. The Usos tried to explain it in a little Q&A Twitter thing they did, and I genuinely have no idea what they were talking about. But, yeah, it was a bunch of unfortunate promos. Mm-hmm. A lot of hype packages. And then, we got Primo and Epico taking on the hype bros.
Woo, woo, woo. The savior for your team is back, even even though he's not on your team.
Right.
Zack Ryder's
good luck charm.
Zack Ryder's back, everybody. Aren't we all excited for Zack Ryder's return?
Sure.
Yes? No? Maybe?
Yes.
Two out of three ain't bad.
One more run of getting all the fan support and absolutely dick for it.
So, how was the match?
It's a pretty standard match, I think. Like, this felt like easing Ryder back into things. Kind of waiting in the shallow end before they really let him go in the ring again. It's a perfectly fine tag team match. You know, it's something I'd see on SmackDown.
You could say a lot about that on this show. Some of the stuff I could have seen on SmackDown Live.
Yeah.
Who won?
That'd be the Hype Bros.
So
everyone got to hit their finisher. None actually worked, so they the Hype Rider.
So he did not injure the match. He didn't injure himself?
No. Leg held out. Though they did the thing they always do, which is they worked the injury.
So the Hype Bros are back on a roll and gearing up for the Hype Bros versus the Usos.
You know, right now in the SmackDown Tag Division, I wouldn't put it past them.
Who cares about the New Day? Let's go Hype Bros, Usos.
Meh.
Because, you know, that's a thing, right?
Meh.
Yeah, might be a thing.
But we'll have to wait and see. All right, let's get into the main show. Stuff I actually see and can contribute to. Women's Money in the Bank, they're going to be historic. It's Tamina, Carmella, Becky, Charlotte, Natty. They all come out, and then we have a video package. Just saying. Video package first, then women come out.
Fuck James Ellsworth.
That was very considerate of WWE to put on the most historic and most interesting match of the night first, so a lot of people could get it out of their way and just go on with their night.
Come home, see Charlotte's coming to the ring. It's like, all right, cool. We're doing this match. This match I'm most looking forward to on the show. Awesome. They're going to go all out.
No. They didn't really go all out.
So, first things first, girls, I know you're new to this, so I'm going to forgive you. But you can't just look up and then try to, you know, think you can jump for the briefcase. You need a ladder. It's a ladder match. You need to be able to do that.
Also, it's much more effective to actually push a ladder rather than try and swat somebody in the lower back or trying to grab onto ankles.
Well, they played WWE 2K17. These are the moves you do. You can pull someone down. You can smack them in the back. And then the hardest one is you have to actually hit the B button to push the ladder over. And you have to push it repeatedly this year. So it's not just one push and then you go over. Oh, no, you got to smash that button like 6 times before the ladder goes over. So they did their homework.
It's I don't know if it's still in the games, but they used to have a system where if you repeated the same move too many times, the crowd didn't respond to it anymore.
Yes.
You kind of lost momentum. So it felt like that. It's like, no, we have to do all the little things that we can do in this situation.
I will say this about this match. I like that Tamina played the protector of the briefcase space. She was not letting anyone near the spot to put the ladder early on. That was good.
Yeah, acting as goalie. That's fine.
That was great. Great defense. Becky and Eddie went, this is my ladder. No, it's my ladder. No, I want the ladder. No, my ladder. Carmella had strategy when she, you know, pulled Charlotte down, who could have hurt herself, like torn a groin or a hamstring.
But that's what Charlotte does.
That's what Charlotte does. So she got caught in the ladder. I liked how Carmella crossed over the ladder to the other side. That was smart strategy.
That was smart.
What didn't work was Charlotte's spear through the ropes. Her and Tamina sort of got caught up in the ropes, and then they redid the spot on the outside with the spear to the steps. Not as good.
No, not really.
Charlotte needs to talk to Big E on how to do the spear through the ropes, because he's perfected it over the years. One person has to be on the other side of the ropes for it to really work.
Yeah, kind of necessary.
Yeah, it's kind of a thing. And then Charlotte did what Charlotte do, the twisting moonsault. Corkscrew, whatever you want to call it.
The flipping flare.
The flipping flare to on two women. The
flare flop 2.0.
There we go.
You know, she already has a figure eight, so the flare flop 2.0 takes out two women on the outside. Okay, then you see that moment, and it's like, cool, we're at the halfway point. We're going to build some momentum. It's the first real spot of the match.
Mm-hmm.
And then James Ellsworth climbs up the ladder, or shoves Becky off the ladder, climbs up the ladder, pulls down the briefcase, and tosses it down to Carmella. She's our winner.
So who wants to talk about this first?
So, in an age where we have the best women's roster the WWE has ever had, you have girls like Tamina and Becky and Charlotte and Natty in this match who can take bumps, who can play rough, who can actually work a match like this successfully. And not only do we cut the match short, but we've also sent the message that a woman can't win a ladder match. It still takes a man to win a ladder match, even when it's a women's match.
Not only that, but you only gave them 13 minutes and 20 seconds to do something that they should have gotten 23 minutes and 20 seconds to do.
And how long was the Hell in a Cell match?
I don't remember the Hell in a Cell match.
Exactly. That's the problem.
It was longer than this.
I meant time-wise.
Well, no, longer than this because they did a bullshit injury thing that took forever.
But that's okay. You were still giving them the spotlight. You gave them 13 minutes and 20 seconds bell to bell. Because like I said, they did the moonsault. That's like the halfway point of the match. You build bigger spots from there. You had the one big spot, and then I guess they felt like, okay, they did enough. Time's up.
Yeah, like that's where you're supposed to start pairing off and getting your big spots in. No.
No. We ended it. Like, if you ask people, what was the one match you're most intrigued by? It's this one.
Yeah. It is legitimately historic. This is the first time they've ever done this. I hesitate to even think of a women's ladder match in WWE, let alone women's Money in the Bank ladder match. And this is what we get.
Yeah, we got this. We got a half-assed match from the
where girl. They no. Yeah, where the women were not given a chance.
No, they weren't.
And a woman wasn't allowed to win it.
But it's good to know Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan will handle it on SmackDown.
Fuck this match. Fuck this match. Fuck the ending. Fuck your history. This is bullshit.
I think we lost Mike for a second, so we're going to get him back here right now, maybe. Hopefully. Yeah. Like, I'm okay with Carmella winning.
Oh, yeah. Like, I would be fine with Ellsworth interfering to help her win. I would be fine if he distracted one of the girls on the outside. I would be fine if, I'd be fine if he knocked another girl off a ladder.
Which he did.
If it was the end of it, that'd be fine. You know, I would be fine. You know, there's a lot of situations where I'd be fine. This is like literally the one situation I feared the absolute most, and is the one thing they absolutely should not have done. This was the worst decision they could have made.
So you know how you said in the beginning when we talked about Tamina, she was playing defense.
Mm-hmm.
He could have played defense for her. Just stood around the ladder as she climbed. Play goalie. Make sure no one comes near. Be the distraction. It would have worked perfect.
Yeah, that would have been fine. That would have worked. You know, I say, a Weasley heel is usually pretty entertaining as Money in the Bank holder.
Okay, LeMans brings up a question. If a woman climbed the ladder and won it for a man, would you be saying the same thing? Yeah, it would be ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not the point. It would be ridiculous.
I mean, yes, I think in this situation I'm more outraged because this was a historic thing. This was like a big deal thing that would go into a record book somewhere. And it was absolutely shit on because they wanted a bullshit finish like this. But yeah, like even if it was like, okay, yeah, like if a valet or a girlfriend or something, if Maria Kanellis threw the briefcase down to Mike, I'd still call bullshit.
Yeah.
Because that's not the fucking point. It completely kills the spirit of the match.
And that's the biggest problem. This was the first time they've done something. And they were trying to create something tonight, which you're supposed to build a legacy of having women when you want them to treat them like, you know, men. You don't see this happening with the men's matches. And that's the problem. I know we should not take things too seriously, apparently, according to the internet. Or some on the internet. But when you're fully invested in something, it doesn't matter whether it's professional wrestling or a television show, because that's what everything is. If you don't care about it, then why are you watching? Like, we cared about this match. We cared about wanting to see something good, and we didn't get what we wanted. We would be, if we ran a Walking Dead podcast and someone got killed that we didn't want to see get killed, we would all go on the air and bitch about it because that's what you do.
You know what this was? You know how, you remember when TNA would have ladder matches and the shit they hung from above the ring fell and someone just picked it up off the mat or caught it and was declared the winner? And that was a, and generally something like that happened as a botch because, hey, turns out a clipboard can't hold a contract very well, or, you know, or we didn't set up the gimmick the right way.
The first Ultimate X when the X kept falling down.
This is WWE intentionally doing that bullshit.
Yeah.
And yeah, we cried bullshit then too.
Yeah. So it's like, we cared about the match. We wanted to see something good. And to answer Mike's original question earlier, 22 minutes and 25 seconds, they got in Hell in a Cell. And that does not count for the 10 plus minutes beforehand. So it's like, the women got time in Hell in a Cell. So it's one of those things where they were shortchanged tonight. They gave them a screw job finish. Yes,
it will, James, I'm sorry.
Yes, it will lead to an interesting maybe storyline going forward on SmackDown Live. And this is where Mike says,
fuck James Ellsworth. I'm sorry. You, they deserve so much more than that.
They do. The women do. They really do deserve more.
And I'm not trying to knock off a Carmella, but Carmella?
Out of everyone, she's the right heel for the job.
Yeah, I think I think it's the most interesting choice they could have made.
I honestly, I probably would have given it to someone who's been in WWE longer. I'm sorry.
Natty doesn't need the briefcase to be relevant. Tamina's not going to be challenging. Tamina's not winning the women's belt.
Shit. Who knows?
So, who was out? Charlotte and Becky?
Becky's already gotten the SmackDown Championship. She's already a first.
And Charlotte has done how many first? So, process of elimination.
Yeah, it's like I said, a wormy heel like that is an entertaining Money in the Bank. You know, this could potentially be like an Edge-style scenario. We already saw her trolling with the briefcase tonight.
And I honestly thought, when the refs started to argue, they were going to restart the match.
Looked like it.
But they didn't. We wanted a better outcome. We wanted a better outcome tonight.
Not the losses.
It's not about who won the match. We just wanted the better finish. And give them more time. Because God knows you had the time on this show.
A lot of time.
Because as much as we love Breezango and the Fashion Police, they didn't need a wrestle. We did not need the Breezango versus Ascension match.
Can we not?
We're going to have to.
Oh, God.
No, we're getting it out of the way now. That happened.
They had a match, and it ended next.
No, here's the thing. You're pushing Breezango, right? You're pushing them to the top, right? They won with a small package. A fluke. What, they can't beat the Ascension clean without, you know, hitting their finish, establish a finishing move? What's up with that? I mean, small package.
Do they even have a tag team finisher?
It would be good to see one. We know Fandango has a leg drop. He could do his own finisher. Breeze could have done his finish. Something better than a small package.
To be fair, at this point, I perfectly believe the Ascension can be beaten with a small package.
We know they can. That's not the thing. We kind of want. I want to see Breeze. If you're going to push Breeze, go push them. Don't have it a fluke.
Yeah, it's a cheap way to win a match.
Because you're going to need challengers for the Usos or the New Day. So build them up with credible wins, not fluke. All right, so we got everything out of the way for a women's match. Tag team titles are on the line. The Usos defend against the New Day. Thoughts? There's a time to make jokes, and there's a time to make money, said JBL. He's glad that the Usos aren't joking around. They're making the money. Are they? Or is the New Day, who has every single piece of merchandise out there, making the actual money?
See, the comedy actor has their own brand of cereal.
Which I'm going to buy tomorrow.
For $16 at FYE or something.
Hey, they have it.
But they have it, so they're making the money.
They're making a lot more selling overpriced boxes of cereal than the Usos are on day one-ish shirts.
So the match picked up after they worked over Kofi for a while. Good false finishes. The trust fall by Kofi takes guts. Always
the I'm too old to flip and spin.
Yep. There was a spot where it looked like the refs hit three, and then the Usos broke it up.
Yeah.
That was the last false finish.
I mean, that was 2.99999, if you want to get really specific, I guess.
It's one thing I did like in the match is that there were plenty of false finishes. And
Yeah, picked up after they worked over coffee. Yeah, they got give you enough false finishes.
That SOS.
It was nice.
I haven't seen an SOS in a while.
We haven't seen really Kofi wrestle in a while. That would be why. That would be why.
Yeah, but you know, we saw the moves, we saw the big ending, we saw the Midnight Hour.
You got everything you want out of it.
Yeah, like the New Day were rolling here.
And then the Usos were heel and they got counted out. Out of all the crap finishes. Out of all the crap finishes tonight, this is the least one I have a complaint
about. This is the least shit finish.
Because I knew going in, New Day was going to win, Usos would retain. Because they're going to work this program for a while. I figured it would be the DQ, not them walking out like cowards. But that's what we got. It's the least one we could complain about, because there was a lot of bad finishes.
This is turning into one of those pay-per-views where the writers are trying to be way too clever for their own good, and it's not working.
If this was the only crappy finish on the entire night, it would
be fine.
It would be perfect for the show, because that's, you thought everything else would be clean. We all figured this. They would all be good finishes, and then you would have one cheesy one, and we had a night of cheesy ones. So yes, New Day win, Usos retain.
That's two bullshit endings so far.
Any other comments we need to make on this one?
I called it.
Okay. I thought it was going to be more than just, I called it. Okay.
No, because, come on now, it was too early for those motherfuckers to actually, I love them, but it was too early.
Too early in the program, yeah.
Too early in the program, too early in their SmackDown life.
Up next.
Even though they all came from SmackDown.
Up next, the women's titles on the line, Naomi battles Lana. We learned something this evening. Lana's a screamer.
You could have asked Rusev, but okay.
Rusev was a major troll tonight.
Was he?
Yeah.
I didn't see what he was getting into.
He's like, I'm getting ready. Here we go. He was teasing during Money in the Bank. And then talked about, at the end, some raid on Destiny or something. Or whatever game he was playing. So, yeah. He was trolling tonight.
I think I said at one time.
Rusev is the GOAT.
I said at one point in the chat that at the rate this pay-per-view was going, I fully expected Lana to win after Rusev put the accolade on Naomi.
Lana was good. They did not do anything to her where they put her in a position to fail. They put her in a position to succeed tonight.
That means they gave her easy spots to do.
Yes. Yes, they did. They did the nice spot with the suplexes under the ropes. That was good. This match wasn't bad. A solid wrestling match you could see every week on SmackDown. There's that phrase again.
It's a very SmackDown match.
What I did not like is, one, they used her finisher in the match to a two count.
Yeah.
Way to kill the finish, night one. Good job.
I hate when... God, that made no sense to me. Like, I understand it's the one good move you taught her, but yeah, you shouldn't be using it if you're not going to win with it.
Because now it's an effective finish.
Yeah, now it's just a signature move.
So she hit it, got the two count. Then Carmella comes out. She's cashing in. Or not.
Don't cash in the middle of the match.
Seth
Rollins did that because if he had waited for Brock to win the match, he would have been eaten alive.
So it was a nice tease by Carmella. And then Naomi put on her submission hold, which has no name, and Lana tapped. She tapped out to a submission maneuver, as they described it.
A submission maneuver.
They didn't give it a name. She give it a name if she's going to win with it. It's not the first time she's won with it, but it's a submission maneuver. Lana taps. There you go. Naomi is your champion still. That should make people happy.
That made me happy.
Then we get the arrival of Maria and Mike Kanellis.
JBL was the GOAT.
The first lady of wrestling has returned to WWE to show the power of love.
Okay.
The show needed a miracle. They left that in TNA. their cadence, not. But they left that in TNA.
So, I like Maria.
By the way, that was the most close she's been in 10 years. Anyway, or 8 years, however long she's been away from WWE.
Yeah.
Continue, Omega.
Yeah, she gained about 100 IQ points in her character since last time we saw her, too.
Character development.
Yeah, she's been learning.
Edumacated, she is.
No. I like seeing her back. I thought she got... I thought she didn't get a good enough chance the first time she was in WWE, so I'm happy about that. I'm kind of happy Mike Bennett skips the line in NXT just because it's going because of NXT, it is very rare for us to get instant new blood on the main roster.
By the way, it's Mike Kanellis, not Bennett.
I'm getting to that. I like that that's how they work that.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, we can, because technically we can trademark this.
Yep.
And it still works. And this is interesting because they're playing off of her WWE legacy, and she's really kind of leading the way with this. You know, like she doesn't feel like she's playing like typical valet type thing. I'm here to, you know, the man is the big deal in this particular setup. I kind of like the juxtaposition here. I don't like the gimmick. Gimmick is a little
gay.
That's not the word I would use to describe a man and a woman like having a we're in love gimmick.
I'm sorry. It's like an episode of Will and Grace.
It's a little too Care Bear.
Super PDA.
I don't know. I'm willing to give it a chance because, you know, Mike Bennett in WWE is not a bad thing. Seeing Maria back is not a bad thing.
The positive on it, it adds another star to the show that it needs because SmackDown needs stars. So if you can build this into a power duo, an actual power duo,
mm-hmm.
that would be great. Because the show will need it. Because the show needs quality talent. Mike Kanellis is very talented. What they did in Impact was good. Maria was fantastic. She's really good in her role. You don't let her wrestle. You don't need her to wrestle. Because she represents the divas.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need her right now to wrestle. At some point, yeah, you can do something and have her be a wrestler. But right now, build Mike. Build him into a thing. Let her wear the pants and lead him.
Yeah.
And you could do something really good with it. You gotta get the belt. You gotta get the U.S. title away from Kevin after SummerSlam or in the fall and then put the belt on Mike and let him go from there unless, God forbid, they do Mike Bennett and Jinder Mahal at some point. I don't know. That would be good. But if you give him, he would be a great U.S. champion.
I like the idea of Mike Bennett. Oh, sorry. Mike Kanellis.
Kanellis, yes.
And let's say Ty Dillinger is a starter.
Wouldn't be bad. It really wouldn't be bad. So we'll see what they do. Don't give him Dolph. Please don't.
No.
Don't.
Well, I don't think they're going to run him as a face anyway.
I know, but don't give him Dolph, please.
Don't give him Dolph. Anyone but Dolph.
Yeah. By the way, if you're just tuning in, this is WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're reviewing Money in the Bank. Now, sitting at ringside are Greg Gagne, Larry the Axe Henning, Sergeant Slaughter, Baron Von Raschke, Bullet Bob Armstrong, not Bullet Bob Armstrong, wow, Cowboy Bob Orton, wow, wow, I don't know why I thought of Bullet Bob. Anyway, and the Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Somehow Sarge's chin is now larger than the rest of his head.
Yes.
I don't know how.
So, you have them at ringside for this match. The WWE Championship matchup with defending champion Jinder Mahal against the Viper, Randy Orton. So,
this is still disgusting to say.
Come on and say it. Jinder Mahal is your WWE champion.
Here's the thing. Randy Orton is a good son. He got his father a wrestler for Father's Day. Dumped him right in his lap. Here's the gift. You got Jinder.
It was hilarious to me, yo. The match with the start of the match, you know, pretty good.
And then Jinder was on offense for 10 minutes.
Yeah, he was. See, they tried to play the hometown hero thing, even though we know we not the wrestling fans, wrestling analysts. We know how this goes. He tries to gain the upper hand, you know, oh, blah, blah, blah. He's a hometown hero. Of course, he's going to get his ass beat. And then here comes Randy Orton getting his momentum and everything else. Wow, blah, blah, blah. Boom, boom, boom. Five moves of doom. I'm sorry, I can't say that, but kind of the five moves of doom. And then
we have the figure four. Figure four.
We had a figure four, so six moves.
On the right, on the right injured knee.
This was the thing. This was the thing. They were working Orton's leg the whole match, which, okay, that's fine. I dig that. Until, like, the end where they totally forgot about it and Orton seemed fine.
And no-sold the crap out of it, you know.
Yeah. But before then, like, you know, unlike we've seen with The Miz, Jinder, in his first attempt at a figure four, actually applied it to the correct leg.
Absolutely.
To actually continue telling the story.
Progress.
Like, I was like, I get it, you know, hometown hero, adrenaline, blah, 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 blah. Hey, Randy, you're supposed to be hurt, bro. What happened?
They don't pay to see the injuries. They pay to see the big moves.
You is right.
From the star. And the star said, screw the knee injury. I'm going to do my big moves. And his big move in the last month is destroy the Singh brothers. And that's what he did. We had the RKO 2-count Singh brothers put the foot on rope. Then he went and destroyed them. One got tossed on
the table. You forgot one thing. Whatever. What they did before he destroyed them.
What was that?
Well, they tried to kick him out of the match. And then they went to get Bob Orton Sr.
They touched Bob Orton. Did you see Ric Flair?
Rick wanted him. Rick wanted
him. Yeah, Rick really wanted peace.
I'm sorry. Ric Flair was trying so hard.
Rick was like, wait. I got my adrenaline. I'm going to do this. Let's go.
Wait. This ain't WCW. This ain't me.
Let me take off my jacket. Fire up. Ric Flair style. Woo.
Super Saiyan Flair. Woo.
So, okay.
It's Sarge just sitting there going, cool, they're doing this on my chair.
Yay.
I like it.
So, yeah, they got tossed. They go after Bob. Warden attacks. Drops the one on the table. Then takes that other one out again on the outside. Then
meanwhile, Jinder is selling that RKO for like a decade at this point.
He could have been doing things that medically enhanced some things. We do not know. Cannot confirm it if he was on the outside.
There's actually a third Singh brother that gets him a quick booster. That pop out of the ring, and he like comes back in the match like Popeye.
Shut up. Oh my god, it's curry and it's not spinach.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
You can send all comments to at
the
WTR Oreo on the Twitter.
There you go.
Then we have the RKO on the table, through the table. It's like, yes, at least some points out of this match. When I'm about to lose them in 1, 2, 3. The slam by Jinder.
What does he call that?
I forget. I really honestly forget. I think it's like a cobra slam.
I think it's an Indian food. I don't know.
Anyone know the name of Jinder's finish?
Hold on.
Someone Google it. Intern, Mike, someone Google it. Get the name of Jinder's finish. Because on my feed, it broke up, like it pixelated, so I could not hear anything or see anything for the finish.
Oh, shit. Okay. Jinder Mahal. Oh, he's a Singh brother. All right. Blah, 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 blah. Apparently, it's... it's called the callus.
The callus. Or is
the colossus.
The colossus.
The colossus, I'm sorry.
Or as the intern in chum goes, Jinder's move is called the natural enhancement.
Stop it.
God. I'm at his victory in the match now. And it's just veins. Just veins everywhere. It looks like a map of the LA freeway system. This man was juiced anymore. He'd be sponsored by Tropicana.
You guys really think he's still juiced?
No, it's just fun.
Come on, guys.
It's just fun.
Oh, wait, he calls himself the new American Dream. Oh, God. Next.
He is the American Dream.
Apparently he's the new American Dream.
The new American Dream. And when he said that, everyone went, that's disrespectful to Dusty. Anyway, Jinder Mahal. Still your WWE champion.
I'm not mad at this. I'm really not mad at this. Yes, praise the Maharaja, because Jinder Mahal is now WWE champion. And I loved the promo where everybody in India, just like news reports and everything of India, just talking about him. I fucking loved it. And... to see something like that, it's going to be amazing because we all know he ain't dropping the fucking belt till after SummerSlam. So let's get that out of our fucking heads.
Royal Rumble.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
Or WrestleMania.
That long? No.
I don't know.
I refuse to live in a world where Jinder Mahal is main eventing WrestleMania.
Mega.
Who's
our president?
Exactly.
Anything is possible.
And they're taking volunteers to go to Mars, right?
Only if you believe. So, yeah. Jinder's champ, everybody.
Woohoo!
Get used to it. Get used to it for now.
At least At least they're sticking to their guns in spite of the tanking ratings.
At least they're not playing hot potatoes, so be happy with that.
You mean like they did for the first 5 months of the year?
Yeah.
We've had 1 month of non-hot potato.
You're right, but at least they're not, you know, pulling that, oh, he's hometown hero, it's Randy Orton, yeah. At least it's not a potty break match. Speaking of potty break match...
Did you watch Jinder versus Mojo on SmackDown?
I sure did not, because I sure went to go potty.
There you go.
I'm not stupid.
We already talked about Breezango versus the Ascension. The Fashion Police, the Fashion Files was good. It's positive.
I'm all right, cool. Scares me that I'm more interested in Breezango than the WWE champion right now.
And which now leads us to our main event, who will be replacing, and will be going for the WWE Championship. We had the Money in the Bank ladder match, where the winner gets a contract title shot for the WWE Championship anytime, any place, anywhere.
So, I like how in commentary, I don't know if it was during this match or the first match, where they made reference to, well, there was one that happened, they were, you know, they cashed in and it failed. And it was, they didn't say Damon Sandow, but that was Damon Sandow's failure because he did it that night.
That was the first one.
And then they mentioned John Cena's, where that doesn't count because he said it in advance. It wasn't a real cash in. It didn't matter. He lost it, but so it doesn't matter.
So then RVD's doesn't count either?
No, that was successful. So that'll continue on the percentage.
But still the same thing because you gotta be politically correct with these fucks. Since they, as the bastards, they want to say, oh, well, it didn't count because he called it in advance. So did RVD. Be careful what you guys say.
Yeah, cash-in's a cash-in. If he gave up the belt, if he gave up the briefcase, it's a cash-in.
Exactly.
You cannot tarnish the legacy of free agent John Cena.
Fuck. Anyway.
So who was in the match, Mike, since you were doing the introduction?
I'm not going to do them in order except for the final two. We had Sami Zayn. Well, I'm sorry, AJ Styles. We had Sami Zayn. We had Kevin Owens.
Who walked under a ladder to avoid walking on his own face.
Absolutely. So we already knew it was bad luck for him.
Had a bad night.
He had a very bad night. Dolph Ziggler. Shinsuke, no, oh my god! Baron Corbin just beat the crap out of Shinsuke Nakamura! That happened. A lot of my friends were looking, I was in chat, and they were like, why the fuck is Baron Corbin coming out? Oh, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
Baron Corbin came out last? Well, he just beat the snot out of Shinsuke.
Which was smart for a guy who's never done a ladder match.
And absolutely.
Who is as old as Shinsuke is. You keep him out of all the ridiculous spots in the match.
Yeah.
Smart booking.
Yeah. That protects him. That makes Corbin look smart.
It did.
So, this was the match of the night. Hands down.
Not hard.
Not a hard thing.
Never said it would be. Hands down, match of the night. Go ahead.
We might also be approaching our only finish that wasn't bullshit in some way.
Because everyone was actually like, okay, WWE, I accept this.
I mean, not even that way. It's just like there's no shade to this finish.
Yeah, there.
Well, true.
There was no dust in the air.
Right. But also, when you see the match, correct me if I'm wrong, but you see a lot of foreshadowing for SummerSlam.
We'll get to that. So, I feel really bad for Kevin Owens tonight.
Oh my god.
Poor
Kevin.
Let's start with the rocket launcher. That ladder was not in good shape after he was done, got launched into it. That was not good for Kevin Owens. Really, really not.
Like, Sammy looked at that ladder and was like, nah, bruh, I can't do this. And, like, he had to throw it out. Because it was the way that it was bent. And did you guys see the way how he fell on the ladder?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Not.
Get well soon, Kevin.
By the way, big props to Kevin. I really like the red tape and blue tape.
Yes.
And same with the kick pads on boots. Really nice touch. You're American now. We accept you.
We fully accept you.
We've adopted you.
We've adopted yes. you. He also took, what was it, the half Nelson suplex on the apron?
Mm. Ow.
Yes. Kurt Angle be happy.
But
That might have been one of the more painful spots of the night.
Mm-mm. But
Didn't need a ladder.
Didn't need a ladder. But Kevin got his revenge on Sammy. He kicked him in the nuts. Sure did. He kicked him right in the nuts.
And his legs stayed there. And I was dying. I don't care what anybody says. The way that kicked him in the dick and then just kept the foot right there. That was gold.
If I'm going to kick you in the nuts, I'm going to make it count. Make it painful.
And it's going to burn.
Sammy had a nice sunset flip off the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
We saw an attitude adjustment in this matchup. And there was
driver. No, I'm calling it an attitude adjustment. Stop it.
It was an attitude adjustment.
I'm sorry. No, it was a Death Valley driver.
No, it was not. No, it was not. It was an AA.
Modified Death Valley driver.
Which is called which is an AA on a ladder.
No, you know what? No, it's the FU, wasn't the AA.
Okay, it was the FU by AJ Styles, not John Cena. So, congratulations.
You two are ruining Thanksgiving.
Oh, shut up. Okay, fine. It's not the AA, it's the AJ. Let's go.
Before that, we had a chokeslam on the ladder by Corbin to AJ on the same ladder.
I'm sorry, but when Baron Corbin did that chokeslam, he made chokeslams look cool again. Like, he was just like, chokeslam, fuck your face, fuck your back, fuck your whole existence. I don't care if you went to Japan, you're taking this chokeslam to the ladder.
Like, for a second, I thought that was our ladder break spot of the night.
So did I. I thought it was going to break. I was wrong. Oh, and Carmella just won the Money in the Bank again. Thank you, Replay.
Cut that blasphemy off.
Then we had probably one of the most scary spots of the night. AJ's climbing.
Oh, my God.
Then AJ's hanging.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Then AJ's falling.
Now, we've seen spots like this before.
But he didn't. He didn't have to hit that hard.
Well, what I liked about the spot was I've never seen anyone attempt to actually get the briefcase.
Yeah, which was a nice twist. But then it's kind of scary. Maybe he breaks his arm and falls.
He was like, oh my God, I'm going to splat.
Thankfully, he's okay.
It's like there was literally part of me was he's climbing up the chain going, at first, is he going to make it to the rafters?
He's going to find Sting.
Shut up. Oh my God.
So.
But then there was the most amazing spot in WWE that a lot of us fans have been waiting for.
Well, whoa. Yeah, where are you going with this?
We wanted to see amazing Dolph Ziggler moves. Now,
we kind of did, but he fucked it up. Not Dolph, but what was it? Sammy? He fucked up that zigzag. I'm sorry.
That was an awful zigzag. Yeah,
a very awful zigzag.
Like I saw people on Twitter going, "Like that was an awesome zigzag." If you actually know the zigzag, that was an awful zigzag.
Oh, very awful. Because hasn't he done it before off of a ladder?
Probably, but they were too close to the ropes.
Look, you gotta make do what you gotta do.
Or, here's the thing, don't do the spot.
Bingo.
So, Baron Corbin's climbing. He's going to get the briefcase. Shinsuke's music hits. He gets frozen in time. And realizes, oh my God, here comes Shinsuke. He's freaking out.
So, are we not gonna talk about how far he threw that fucking...
he threw it. Oh, he threw it. He was not happy.
Like, what the fuck? I'm sorry, that was really cool. Like, he was... Pew! Nope. Gotta be quicker than that.
So he destroys Baron Corbin. He destroys Dolph Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
He destroys Sami Zayn.
According to the announce booth, every knee thrust is now a Kinshasa.
Yes, it is. So he threw about 30. They were like super kicks tonight. Everyone got one.
Kinshasa party.
Kinshasa party. Make it a t-shirt. Just give us some money. I did like how when Shinsuke, who's not an expert with the ladder, grabs the ladder, brings it in, tries to bring in the ring, and Kevin's just hanging on to the ladder. It's like, no, don't take the ladder from me. No, please. Shinsuke, no. I
can't get up and punch you. I have to hold on. I have to hold on.
It's my security blanket. I can't sleep without it. Please don't take it away from me. He got a Kinshasa as well. according to Tom Phillips. So he finally gets in the ring. He gets it set up. And then, oh, lo and behold, who's on the other side but AJ Styles? And it's like, no need for a ladder.
I love that when they just both pick up the ladder and set it aside at the same time.
Shinsuke works so hard getting it set up and like, nope, we're going to move it out of the way and we're going to fight. And they fought. And they fought and had some really good stuff. It's kind of like, oh, hey, this could be a good match down the line.
Oh, this is the match everyone wants down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Could be SummerSlam. Could be WrestleMania. Won't be Great Balls of Fire because that's Raw.
But oh, God, no.
This is a matchup that will be really good, and they gave us 3 minutes of really good stuff between the two that teased us for what's to come. And it's like they haven't missed a step with each other, because they just went right after one another. If you really wanted Shinsuke to look good on the main roster, just give him AJ. AJ will make you realize why Shinsuke is awesome.
To be fair, AJ could do that with just about anybody.
Just pointing out that AJ is better than Dolph, and everyone's better than Dolph.
God, poor Dolph. He used to be so good.
But we're never pushing Dolph. So, AJ and Shinsuke eventually start climbing the ladder. They fight on top of the ladder. One of them's gonna win. Nope. Baron Corbin says nope. Knocks the both of them off the ladder. Sets the ladder back up. Makes his climb. Struggles. But pulls down the briefcase.
He really didn't want to go up that one extra rung.
No, he didn't.
He sure didn't.
That man's afraid of heights, it seems like.
Oh, yeah. Like, as soon as he gets that thing unclipped, he's hanging onto the hook for dear life.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, oh, no, fuck that.
So, yeah. That's good. That's good. Yeah. Anyway, Baron Corbin is Mr. Money in the Bank.
And I'm at peace with that.
It's good. It's smart.
It is.
Yeah.
Because he's one Andre the Giant. And right now, it's like, yes. Well, hopefully they will build him up, you know?
We hope that.
I mean,
but then you look at Jinder, and they never built him up, so.
No, not what I mean. I hope NXT, he was, you know, the 15-second killer. What was it? SmackDown? He's never been to No. Lies. Monday Night Raw? Hey. I'm just going to beat your ass just cause.
He feuded with Dolph Ziggler.
Close enough. I'm going to beat your ass because. SmackDown. I'm starting to get better. I want to see what he does when he has the briefcase.
Baron Corbin is the most improved wrestler they have in the last year.
And you are correct.
On the men's side, Alexa and the women. But, yeah, Baron's improved greatly since being up on the main roster. And he was probably going to be the guy in Jinder's spot. But Jinder has a spot. So now the briefcase, when you're ready to pull that trigger, you have it. And he'll be ready for it. But if you looked at the last 3 weeks of SmackDown, you kind of figured that Baron was winning this match.
Right.
Since he kept losing to Sammy. Kind of told us what was going to happen without telling us if you followed WWE booking. But, you know, I digress. So, yeah. That was a show.
It was a show with one unscrewed finish.
Baron won. That's all I care about.
I'll take it because I got points. That was good enough for me.
Also, thank you, Naomi, for remembering you're supposed to be a champion.
So, going into this week, Omega had 23 fantasy points. Tonight, this week, you got 21. You, like, almost doubled in one night. I don't have the full totals, but I have for the night, for the week. In turn, end up with the Omega number minus 3. Mike had 8. Lindsay had 14. Omega had 21. I had 20, and Tim had 26 for the week. Well, the full totals on Twitter tomorrow for that one, because I didn't have time to, you know, calculate totals tonight, because... You know, we're doing a show, we're doing Money in the Bank, and there's no Tim where I could get, like, 5 minutes to actually do things. That's how this goes. But for pick'em results, we do have it, because the intern provided it.
Excellent.
The 8-ball went 1-4.
Good.
The video game went 2-3.
Good.
Random thing picker went 2-4.
Good.
So did Aaron Jobber and Subway, they went 2-4. Matt went 3-2. A whole bunch of people, Chris, Jenna, Rob, myself, Sheila, Tim, and Tommy. C went 3-3. I go Peterson and Heartbreak Mike went 4-2. Mega went and Alex Cage went 5-1. And Lindsay went 6-0.
I should get an extra point because I called the tag match exactly.
So did I.
So, you know.
No. What I'm saying was I literally posted the exact finish.
Congratulations.
There's
no bonus points.
Shut up. Just give me mine. Just let me enjoy my gloating time.
No bonus points in that one. Sorry. That doesn't exist. Anyway.
You know what? I didn't get my wooden ladder tonight.
Are you disappointed by that?
I kind of am. I count at least one ladder breaking spot where there's very obvious sawdust on the floor. Please ignore that. We swear it's a steel ladder that just broke.
But that's it. That's our show tonight. Final grade for the pay-per-view, Mike.
4. I give it a C+.
I know 4 is a C+, but okay. Oh my God.
No,
a 4 out of 8.
There you go. They don't deserve the extra 2 points.
Oh my God, grade it.
Honestly, I'm going to put it at a C. I was almost thinking C-. There's just too many bad finishes and too many matches that are SmackDown quality at best. And a historic match that was extraordinarily disappointing for many reasons.
I want to give it an incomplete because I never got a real finish. Anyway, that's...
DNF.
Yeah. Anyway, that's WTR Sunday Night for another week. We'll be back at our normal time, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here next Sunday night, along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Or is that Great Balls of Fire preview? We got a week where we're not previewing a pay-per-view. All right, we're good. So,
thank God.
We got 2 hours of content coming your way next week. WTR Sunday Night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Tomorrow night is Raw Push, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday night is WTR Sims. We're doing WTR in the Bank. I know. How original. Anyway, WTR Sims, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, Tuesday night, twitch.tv/FrackRadioShow. Thursday night, we'll have the review of Money in the Bank on the Rack. We'll have SmackDown Throwdown, the NXT Rundown, and maybe a surprise or two. It's the Rack. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, as we gear up for 5 years of the Rack on June 29th. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Saturday night, midnight, this is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Go back and listen to last night's episode where we talk sex toys, say what's, and the greater than great debate for Super Nintendo games. No road rash in that series. I'm disappointed. CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight, CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies. I'm at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Get the show on iTunes, just search Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow Tim on Twitter, at Flames Forums. Buy his cookbook, it's mankitchentv.com. Getting rave reviews on Twitter. Omega, plug some stuff.
You can find everything that I do, generally, under the name TJ Omega, unless you're the Facebook type, in which case you'll have to search out for TJ Reviews. However, over on Twitter, I am TJ Omega. Over on YouTube, I am TJ Omega, where there is constantly new content coming up all the time. And there's a bunch of exclusive stuff over at tjomega.org that YouTube is generally not a fan of.
Mike.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, Fuck the Revival. If you guys want to actually, you know, see me on the Twitter thingy, Fuck the Revival, you can actually hit me up on the WTR Oreo. That is my Twitter handle. You can look at me on my Facebook project. Look me up, United Wrestling. Fuck James Ellsworth. And fuck the Revival. Yeah.
I feel like I need to throw a fuck you ace just for reasons. Buy the shirt, cbralive.com. Anyway, this is another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're back next Sunday night. Lonera is right here for WTR Sunday Night. Russell Talk Radio. Tim Stein will be leading the pack. 10 p.m. Eastern, right here, wildtalkradio.com. Good night, everybody.
Wildtalkradio.com.